Now entering the column, your host, Brian Simmons-Hayes.
Buddy, how are you? Welcome to the column, presented by Magner's Irish Cider, true cider since 1935. My name is Brian Simmons-Hayes. I'm the host of the show, and this is the podcast covering all things in the Red Sox minor league system. We have a great episode for you guys today. Joe McDonald, the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, is coming on. He spent this summer covering the Woo Sox. I got to hang out with him at Polar Park quite a bit, got to know him. Very knowledgeable dude on baseball. Also spent a lot of time covering the Bruins as well, but we're talking Red Sox today, specifically Jarren Duran, top prospect for the Red Sox. I'm sure plenty of you know who that is. Got to spend some time at Fenway this year, made his debut at Yankee Stadium. But man, he was the Worcester Wonder this year. He was killing it, hitting home runs left and right. Seemed like he might be the new Mookie Betts, but didn't quite turn out that way when he got called up. However, Joe and I are going to discuss his season and what he might be doing next year for us. Quick note, recent news, MLB has officially initiated a lockout. So how does this affect me? Well, it's tough because I run social media for the Woo Sox and I cannot post any players, which is really unfortunate for my job. But I mean, who cares about that, right? This is tough for all baseball fans. We're going to hopefully get some baseball coming to us soon. It's tough because this offseason was shaping up to be a good one. And, it's kind of unfortunate that we have to wait a little bit for any more news. And I don't know if any of you read that letter from the commissioner, but might be a while. But, you know, watching baseball makes me happy. So hopefully we get some baseball eventually. But you know what else makes me happy? The Natick Outdoor Store. Have you ever needed to get yourself a baseball bat, some live fish bait, a Carhartt jacket, and a set of pajamas? Well, look no further because I have the store for you. Folks, I'm talking about the Natick Outdoor Store. Founded in 1947 by World War II veteran Huck Sacks, the store originally started as an Army-Navy store and has grown into a full-line sporting goods clothing and outdoor store. Located 18 miles west of Boston in downtown Natick, Massachusetts, the 25,000-square-foot building sits conveniently across from the Natick Center commuter rail stop and a quick turn off the Mass Pike. The store is still family-owned, run by the second generation, and offers excellent customer service. I go there all the time to get my skate sharpened, get some fish baits, some pajamas, whatever you need. The outdoor store is the place to get all your sporting goods needs. They got apparel and equipment for all the sports you can think of. Baseball, basketball, hockey, football, soccer, lacrosse, fishing, hunting, camping. I'm telling you, they got it all. The Natick Outdoor Store, if we don't have it, you don't need it. And now, Joe McDonald. An award-winning sports writer with 30 years of experience, he spent time around the NHL with notable organizations such as ESPN and The Athletic before landing a role at the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. He spent this past summer covering the Woo Sox while still breaking some big-time hockey news and finding local stories as well. Welcome to the show, Joe McDonald.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here. I appreciate the time.
All right, man. So first of all, we spent a lot of time watching the Woo Sox this summer, obviously, and the biggest name that came out of Polar Park was Jarren Duran, 25-year-old out of Corona, California. He was originally drafted as a second baseman in the seventh round of the 2018 draft out of California State University by the Sox. And, that sounds pretty familiar for us Sox fans, second baseman becoming a center fielder with a little bit of pop and some speed. Not too often you see a kid come through the Red Sox system this quickly, especially with COVID canceling one of those seasons. I'm just curious how much you knew about Jarren before the season, because personally, I didn't know a whole lot.
Yeah, with you, Brian, I didn't know much about him. And, you know, obviously, especially in the Red Sox organization, when they have a prospect who they consider an elite prospect, they do a pretty good job of promoting these guys. So, you know, you hear their names, but this is the first time that I've seen them play. And, you know, to your point, because of COVID and you know, the lost season, but I was very interested to see him play and I was not disappointed. On the field, he has a strong work ethic. He likes to show off his pipes, right? He was always walking around Polar Park with the sleeves cut off his shirt, you know, and the tattoos and everything else. And, but the one thing that really stood out to me right away was during the alternate site where they basically were playing inter-squad games before the season began. He would hit a ground ball, and most guys, you know, they know it's an out, so they kind of jog down the first baseline. He was in an all-out sprint. He was out by 10 feet, but he still ran through the bag. And that right there showed me something. And throughout the season, you know, he honed his skills, and eventually when he was able to, you know, earn that promotion to Boston when the Red Sox needed him, you know, it was a perfect example of how difficult this game of baseball can be, because he could dominate at the AAA level, but then when you get up to the majors, it's a completely different environment. And, you know, he struggled a little bit, which it happens. So when he came back down, it was good to see him kind of continue to have that type of mindset, because he knows that, you know, in order to get to the majors and stay there, he has to find that consistency. So I think there are some areas where he needs to mature, but from a baseball standpoint, and I've covered all the top prospects in the Red Sox organization for the last 20 years, and I would put his potential up there against any of those guys, excluding Dustin Pedroia, because obviously Petey was in a class of his own. So yeah, I was impressed with Duran, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he continues that development this season.
In 2019, he batted .387 with Salem and .250 in Portland. So pretty good numbers. And then, you know, COVID happens next season. We don't get to see a lot of him, but that winter leading up to spring training, down in the Puerto Rican Winter League, he batted .236 and 55 ABs. And then, playing for Puerto Rico in the Caribbean Series, batted 425 ABs, playing alongside fellow Sox minor leagues, Jack Lopez and Jeremy Rivera. So this was a huge offseason for him. It seemed like he really kind of found his stride this offseason heading into 2021. And, you know, it makes sense why when we first saw him in May, why he was just coming out like all cylinders loaded, you know, hitting home runs left and right, showing off his speed, playing pretty good defense. I think he had a home run in the first game at Polar Park, and he also hit the first walk-off home run in Polar Park. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, around the social media, we were really treating this kid like he was the next Ted Williams, you know, because it really felt like that. People were coming out to Worcester just to see this kid play. My friends at school were like, man, like, have you gotten to talk to Jaren Duran at all? Because it just seemed like he was, you know, the new Mookie Betts for us. And I think a lot of Sox fans were kind of hoping he'd turn out that way. Obviously, when he did get called up, things didn't quite turn out how I think people were hoping. But you, if I'm not mistaken, you were the one who actually broke the news for that, right?
I did, and it was interesting because Red Sox fans wanted to see this kid in Boston only because they saw the numbers in Worcester, and they're like, okay, the Red Sox at that time were struggling a little bit, so they figured, all right, let's give him an opportunity. There was some injuries. There were some guys on the COVID list. Let's give him an opportunity and see how he performs. And there were some games where, you know, he played well, and there were some games where he struggled. And but the biggest thing was he came off the bench. I believe they were the Red Sox were on the road, and as a pinch runner, and he ended up scoring the game winning run. I think he was on first. There was a shot to the outfield, and he scored from first. And it's those types of things that helped him get that September call up, even though that really didn't have September call ups this year because of COVID. But for all intents and purposes, that's what he was, and he was able to be up there during the playoff run for the Red Sox, only to see how these guys perform and how they work on a daily basis. And that's an important part of the development that a lot of people don't realize. But you're right. I mean, when he was in Worcester, he was lights out, and like the power is there. I mean, he hit some monstrous shots out of Polar Park, and fans, and you have to give Red Sox fans a lot of credit, because when an elite prospect like Duran is coming through the system, they know it, and they want to see him at the minor league level. One, because they want to say, yeah, I saw him when he was at AAA, and two, it's probably it is a lot cheaper to go to Polar Park than it is to Fenway Park. So, you know, I've seen this play out in the past with certain guys, and the example that I give Brian a lot is Will Middlebrooks. When Middlebrooks played for AAA Pawtucket, when he was coming up, he was lights out. He was the top prospect in the Red Sox organization. He gets called up to Boston, and for like 3 months, he was dialed in. He was playing awesome defense. You know, he was producing offensively. He was hitting home runs. And then after that, you know, he struggled a little bit with his consistency. And I spoke to him this past offseason about, you know, Duran and what Duran should expect. And Middlebrooks basically said that, like, you gotta find that consistency and you're gonna work hard because it's just not gonna be given to you. And I think Duran kind of realized that when he got called up and you know, learned firsthand that it's quite a difference. So again, it's gonna be interesting to see what his offseason was like and where he starts. I can see him again starting in Worcester, but you never know. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how his development continues here moving forward with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what I saw out of him, it felt like he was just so used to, I don't know, being a power hitter for the Woo Sox. I mean, as a center fielder, you kind of expect him to be hitting those gappers and trying to leg out doubles and triples. And it just seemed like every time he was hitting home runs over the Worcester wall, and then he got called up and, you know, his second game playing at Solon Field in Buffalo against the Blue Jays, and he hits a home run there. And I'm sure that must have just felt like, oh my God, this is going to be easy, you know? And from an outsider's perspective, I'm sure it was humbling. And I'm sure that must've been tough for him because, you know, you come up, you're used to hitting all these bombs and then suddenly you're striking out almost every at bat. It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And sorry to cut you off there, but you're right. And when those players face that type of adversity, that's how they grow into a better player and a better person. At least the best players do that. And you can go down the line. And even we mentioned Dustin Pedroia a little bit ago, and he struggled a little bit in the minors. And you know, he even when he got called up, his first month with the Red Sox, he was brutal. Like he was hitting like 197 or something. He was terrible. And then finally, Alex Cora, who was his teammate back then, pulled him aside and basically said, look, you're not being yourself, you know, off the field, you know, in the dugout, in the clubhouse, you're pressing too much. Just be yourself. Just go out there and play the game that you know how to play. And it was that moment that kind of helped Pedroia realize, okay, this is what I need to do. This is one of the things that I need to do in order to be at my best on the field. And you know, that moment that you mentioned with Duran hitting that first home run, that moment probably, you know, eased that nervousness a little bit. But you're right. I mean, it's not an easy game at that level, and you have to be able to face that adversity and figure out ways to grind through it. And I think he is still in that learning process, and it's going to be interesting to see how he responds, because the best players who have struggled at the minor league level or even at the major league level to start always find a way to play through it and figure it out. And Jaron's just not there yet, but we'll see what he's made of this season. That's for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of this season, massive trade that just happened, Hunter Renfroe going to Milwaukee for JBJ and two prospects. Last episode, I talked about those prospects, but I also mentioned that that's a pretty interesting situation for Duran now, because I think a lot of us were kind of thinking, oh, next season he might be that center fielder for the Sox that we were missing this season. And now Jackie's got that role locked down. And I wonder if that might've caught Jaron off guard a little bit, or maybe he's thinking, damn, I got to transition into a different role now. I don't know. What do you think might happen with him? Do you see him going into right field or left field next season, or maybe just sticking it out in AAA and waiting for Jackie to maybe open that role again?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Brian, is that the Red Sox like to create internal competition. And maybe they saw a little bit of Duran thinking, hey, you know, this is going to be my job. I've got this. And maybe the Red Sox figured, no, we're not going to hand you this. You're going to have to work for it. So with this deal, by bringing JBJ back, that creates that internal competition. So again, Duran shouldn't be, you know, sulking. I'm not saying he is, but he shouldn't be upset by the transaction. It should motivate him more this offseason. Not that this kid needs any more motivation, but you know, the Red Sox did this for a reason. You know, JBJ adds a little insurance. If Duran's not ready, then certainly, you know, Jackie played well when he was in Boston, and he probably misses it. So it's going to be good for him to be back. But you know, with Duran, you mentioned the different positions. We saw it last season a little bit. I mean, obviously he's a center fielder, but he played a little bit of right, played a little bit of left, you know, just to kind of give him a little bit of versatility, because, you know, Fenway Park is unique in the outfield, right? And, you know, with the three different positions, and you have to be able to play all three as a young player to show that versatility. So, yeah, that was an interesting transaction for the Red Sox both ways, you know, losing Renfro and getting JBJ back in that deal, and what that means for Duran. So as of right now, you know, in December, you know, it on paper, it looks like an interesting transaction. So, you know, spring training, the start of the season, you know, we're really going to see how it plays out. But at the end of the day, Duran just has to use that as motivation and prove to the Red Sox that he's ready to make that jump to the major league level on a full-time basis.
Yeah, I'm curious. Obviously, Billy McMillan isn't coaching anymore for the Woo Sox, but whoever that is, I wonder if they'll be playing him in a left or right next season, just to, you know, get him used to one of those spots if he's not going to be playing center field, in case Jackie's playing well. I'm curious if they might play him, you know, in front of the Worcester wall, so we can maybe get used to reading balls off a higher wall, just anything like that. That'll definitely be interesting. Then maybe Tate Matheny takes down center field, but yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. Obviously, we got a whole off season, so if this lockout ever gets figured out, who knows what the Red Sox are going to do. But I'd personally like to see, you know, JBJ in center, then Verdugo and Duran on the corners. That'd be, I think that'd be a pretty good setup for them.
Yeah, it really would. And, you know, we know that Duran has the ability and the athleticism to handle different positions. And you mentioned, you know, playing right field in Worcester to maybe get used to the wall a little bit, obviously mimic, you know, the monster at Fenway. And I think he already started to do that a little bit when he was called up during the, he was on the taxi squad for the playoffs. You know, during BP, he would ask, you know, what are the Red Sox coaches, you know, where do you want me? And he even did this in Worcester during bat practice. He would ask Billy McMillan, the former manager, obviously, where to go. And during BP, he would either play right, center, or left, and he would each ball that was hit out to him, he would react differently and work on his routes to the balls. And so he started already thinking that way, which is a good sign, last season. And going into this year, I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And even down in spring training, you know, JetBlue Park, they have the wall in left field to kind of mimic Fenway Park a little bit. And center and right field down there is pretty wide open, pretty big. So I'm sure he's going to get a lot of reps at all three positions, because versatility in the Red Sox organization is very important. And you see that with a lot of organizations today, that they want players that can play multiple positions, like an infielder. You want him to play, you want him to be able to play second, short, and third, even a first baseman. You know, you want to see him be able to get some reps in the outfield. And we saw that last season, that there were more than a few Woo Sox outfielders who were getting, you know, getting worked out at first base, because the Red Sox at that time needed a first baseman. They really couldn't figure out what they wanted to do at first. So they were trying all different guys, and most of them were outfielders. So I'm not saying Jaron Duran's going to, you know, get a first baseman's mitt and get over on the infield, which he could probably handle it, right? He's a second baseman by trade, so he definitely could. So, yeah, his versatility is going to be important this season. So he shouldn't just be focused on center. He needs to focus on the bigger picture.
Awesome. I can't wait for this lockout to be over, because
I'm with you.
I can't imagine not having baseball come spring. But, you know, especially after working this season, I can't wait to watch spring training and, you know, actually know who I'm watching, because I've never had that chance before. I've been spring training plenty of times, but they all just look the same to me. And I can't wait to, like, put names to those faces now. And, like, you know, but also they got to sign a bunch of those guys too. A lot of Woo Sox players on the free agency list, but
it happened to me last season, you know, because of the COVID protocols from a media standpoint. You know, we couldn't be in the clubhouse. We couldn't be in the dugout. And that's when you get to know these guys. And there were the last homestand of the season in September. Like, there were guys walking by me, because at that point we could be in the dugout. There were guys walking by me. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
You know, seriously, like it was like I didn't know a lot of these guys because you don't get that face-to-face time, which is very important, obviously, in this job. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it now that, you know, same thing with you, Brian. Now that I had a season of covering the team and getting to know the prospects and getting to know the veteran guys, now, depending on who the manager is going to be, I'm sure the Red Sox organization will probably make that that announcement maybe within a week on who that's going to be. I believe it's going to be somebody from outside the organization. I don't think it's going to be anybody internal. So, yeah, to see all those pieces come together and hopefully the lockout ends. You know, I know it's a little different at the minor league level, but they'll play baseball some aspect. But yeah, looking forward to, you know, Major League Baseball and the Players Association figuring that out. And then this way, once spring training starts and the regular season begins in April, we're going to see exactly what the roster will probably look like for the majority of the season anyway. Which story, yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
All right. One last little segment before the show comes to an end. We do a little 1 minute rundown on a prospect not in the Red Sox system who we might have seen. This is the segment called Missing a Sock. And yeah, like you it. Like that?
I do. I like that. That's pretty good.
You,
it's in the washer.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Any names come to mind around the AAA East that you might have seen this year?
Wow, that, you know, that's a great question. I'm trying to think. You know, we saw a lot of great pitching prospects.
Yeah.
Throughout the league this year, and only because of the way the schedule was, you know, we saw these pitchers a lot. We saw these players a lot, and God, oh wow, you, December. That's you stumped me there, Brian. Yeah.
I got a name for you that might seem familiar.
Go.
Sean Boyle threw a 7-inning no-hitter against the Woo Sox.
Yep.
Do you remember talking to him at all after that outing? It was his first AAA appearance, which
start.
Is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was and it was the second time this season that he was part of a no-hitter. When he was at AA, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks prior to him getting called up to AAA, he was part of a no-hitter for their AA team. It wasn't only him. There was 2 or 3 pitchers that combined for a no-hitter. But he did this on his own, and you know, it was a 7-inning no-hitter. And some baseball purists will say, well, it wasn't 9 innings. Well, you know what?
I count
both it. Teams knew. Yeah, right? Like, both teams knew it was a 7-inning game, and he kept the Woo Sox, you know, hitless for 7 innings. So, in my book, that's a no-hitter. And he was the thing with Boyle that I noticed was right from the get-go, like he was dialed in, and you could tell he was keeping the Woo Sox batters off balance, obviously because they weren't able to get a hit off him. But he impressed me that night. Afterwards, I did speak to him, and he was pretty fired up about it. Like, that's a great accomplishment. But yeah, that's a good one. I mean, he was definitely a pitching prospect that we saw this season that definitely has a lot of upside. And again, you know, even just like a position player, you know, these pitchers have to work on their skills during the off season. And I don't know what he did this off season. I think he played in the fall league out in Arizona. So if that's the case, if that's what he ended up doing, that's just another step in his development. But missing a sock, yeah, he would have looked good on you know, in a Woo Sox uniform. That's for sure.
Maybe we could have had a no hitter come our way, but
soon enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on the show and taking some time out of your day. I know you're pretty busy. So just good talking to you, and hopefully you talk soon, or maybe I'll see you at a Railers game, or at least at Polar Park come spring.
Sounds good, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Thanks again to Joe for coming on the show. Really enjoyed having him. Great episode. I really enjoyed talking about Jaren Duran. You know, really hope that kid turns into a stud for the Sox next year. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Tune in next time on Tuesday the 21st. We have episodes coming out every Tuesday. Make sure you follow us on Twitter to stay connected, to learn more news about the Red Sox prospects, and to stay in the loop with the show. We got highlights from episodes and teases into future unreleased content. My name is Brian Simtaze. This has been The Call-Up, presented by Magner's Irish Cider. We'll see you next time.